Aleluia, aleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus told his disciples this parable. A man going on a journey called in his servants and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to a third 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. Immediately, the one who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5. Likewise, the one who had received 2 made another 2. But the man who received 1 went off and dug a hole in the ground and buried his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants came back and settled accounts with them. The one who had received 5 talents came forward, bringing the additional 5. He said, "Master, you gave me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more. His master said to him, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Since you were faithful in small matters, I will give you great responsibilities. Come, enter into the joy of your Lord." And the one who received 2 talents came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 talents. Look, I have made 2 more. His master said to him, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Since you were faithful in small matters, I will give you great responsibilities. Come, enter into the joy of your Lord." Then the one who had received 1 talent came forward and said, "Master, I knew that you were a demanding person, harvesting where you did not plant and gathering where you did not scatter. So out of fear, I went and buried your talent in the ground. Here it is back." His master said to him in reply, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I did not plant and gather where I did not scatter? Should you not then have put my money in the bank so that I could have got it back with interest on the return? Now then, take the talent from him and give it to the one with 10. For to everyone who has, more will be given and he will grow rich. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." And throw this useless servant into the darkness outside, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I know, sisters, your heart's about to break just like mine that this is the last time at daily Mass this year we're going to hear the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. It's over today. Thanks be to God, we still have Sundays through the end of November to focus on what God has given us through the Apostle St. Matthew. But this is the 3rd of the parables about the judgment, and they all build on each other. 2 days ago, the last time we were together, we had the parable about the pistos and phronimos servant, the believing and the prudent, practical, trustworthy servant. Yesterday, we had the parable of the 5 wise bridesmaids. Today, we have the parable of the talents. They're all helping us to get ready for the last things, not by putting them off until way down the road, but recognizing that right now, in the here and the present, are the time for us to be living out the lessons here, so that when the Lord comes, we are found to be working like that faithful and prudent servant, with our lamps lit like the prudent virgins. and being able to give the Lord back from what he has given to us according to the abilities with which he has given us. When we hear this parable of the talents, if you're like me, when we grow up and we hear this, we don't know, and a lot of the times the priests just never do the proper exegesis to tell us that a talent was a weight of measure of weight. We think that it's the fact that I can sing well, or that I'm a good cook, or that I might have an intellectual a talent or a relational talent. In the parable, a talent, and you know, and secondly, we can see 5, 2, and 1 and think that if we received one, boy, we could really lose it. And so let's kind of learn not to take the risk. But a talent was, again, this measure of weight, and especially weight of money. One talent was 6,000 days work salary. So about 16 and two-thirds years worth of salary. If somebody made $100 a day, that would be the equivalent of $600,000. 5 talents is $3 million. 600,000 is not chump change. You can do a lot with it. You can take some risks. You might lose here, you might gain there. But it's a lot. And the Lord basically has given us all serious talents. But the biggest talents that he's given us are not what distinguishes us from others. Not that we can compare with others and say I'm a better baseball or softball player than somebody else. No, the greatest talents that we have are the things that we have in common with others. The gift of our life, the gift of our faith, the gift of sacred scripture, the gift of the sacraments, especially Mass, the gift of the work that the Lord's given us, the gift of our friendships, the gift of our family members, the gift of our vocations. These are all talents that the Lord's given us in abundance. And he wants us to invest them, to help them to grow. I want to focus on 2 particular talents that the Lord gives us. The first is the talent of the opportunity for charity. I don't quite know why, when the new Mass, and particularly the lectionary, was being made, that we finish our study of the Gospel of St. Matthew here. There's a 4th parable about the judgment, which St. Matthew intended for us to relate to these. It's one of the most important of them all. We do get it at the end of the liturgical year on Sunday when we focus on St. Matthew. And it's Matthew 25:31-46. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was ill, you comforted me. When I was a stranger, you welcomed me. When I was in prison, you visited me. In the way that the Lord never forgets. First great talent I want to focus on is the talent that we have for charity, the opportunities that we have in order to be able to serve. The Lord wants us to seize those moments, those great moments of love. He has blessed us with so many opportunities to love. How are we investing those? St. Paul, in his message today to the Thessalonians, says, brothers and sisters, on the subject of fraternal charity, you have no need for anyone to write you. For you have been taught yourselves by God to love one another. Nevertheless, we urge you to progress even more. Really seek to have a maximal yield from these opportunities to love. Sisters, we'll have a chance to focus a lot. The sisters who've been here have heard me say it many times, with when Jesus says that the greatest among you will be the servant of the rest, that among you is really important, because that opportunity, that extraordinary talent, begins with the way that you serve each other, the way way that you live charity, not by waiting for the phone to ring or somebody to visit up on 71st Street. That's super important, but it begins right here in the way that you serve others, the way that you really love them as they need, see what their needs are. Maybe it's just a smile. Maybe it's something when somebody's sick. But to take advantage of these opportunities for charity. I heard you chanting morning prayer. Did you use the readings in the Office of Readings from the Office of Our Lady, or did you take them from 21st Saturday today? As much as we love Our Lady, and we do, and we're celebrating the Votive Mass for her, Saturday of the 21st week of Ordinary Time has the single most powerful second reading. So I'd urge you on your own privately to go back. But it's St. John Chrysostom's extraordinary words about charity. At his own time, people were spending so much, and he didn't want to discourage it, spending so much to adorn the church. They were building new churches there. Christianity was legal, and the new evangelization was happening. So many people are given golden chalices, and he says, okay, but when Christ is thirsty outside, you're not doing anything for him. Think about that. You're buying beautiful vestments for the celebration liturgy, and there's a poor man in rags at the gate of the church, and you're not caring for him. These things are good. Those are so much more important. And the Lord places so many people who are in need in front of us, way more than 5 talents worth, way more than 6,000 days worth of people to love. And that's the first gift that he really wants us to develop. And it really starts right here. Second extraordinary talent I want to ponder is in preparation for tomorrow. Tomorrow's gospel will be the follow-up in Caesarea Philippi to Jesus' self-revelation as the Messiah and Son of God, and the revelation of Peter as the rock on whom he built his church. But then after that revelation, Jesus says that he's about to be handed over and crucified, and that unless we pick up our cross every day, denying ourselves and follow him, we will not be able to be his disciple. It's the talent of the cross. Most of us begrudgingly accept the cost of the cross because Jesus mandates it to be his follower. But we don't see what an unbelievable gift it is. We might glimpse a little bit of that intellectually, but at a practical level, most of us flee from the cross rather than run toward the cross. It's one of the greatest gifts that God is going to give us, to help us to become rich like him by forcing us through these crosses to die to ourselves so that Christ might truly live. After I leave you on daily mass, as I listen to things as I get to the office. And last week, at some point, I was listening to some of St. Jose Maria's homilies in Spanish. He was commenting on what it means to follow Christ, and that expression that he would often have written on altar cloths on the sides of the altars of Opus Dei throughout the world, which is, Nulla dies sine cruce in laetitia. No day without the cross in joy. If to be a disciple of Jesus, we have to deny ourselves and pick up our cross every day, and we want to be really faithful disciples of Jesus, the cross is the means. And so he embraced it, said, Lord, please, no day without the cross. And when I recognize that the cross makes me like you, no day without the cross, in joy. I should be joyful about these opportunities because the cross is not fundamentally a sign of pain and suffering and abnegation. But the cross is fundamentally the sign of a love that bears that pain, that bears that suffering, that willingly embraces what we have to give up in order to be able to gain the Lord. The Lord's going to give us crosses. He's going to make us sick sometimes. He's going to put that sister in our community who just, even her very mannerisms, even the way she breathes can sometimes drive us nuts. He's going to give us Urasan to care for. And if you don't know who Urasan is, maybe you'll have the blessing to have her help you to become a true saint. You'll have others. But these are extraordinary gifts. What do we see in the parable? First one had been given 5 talents, and he went on out immediately, and he tried to invest them. When the Lord rewards him, he doesn't focus so much on the quantity. He doesn't say, awesome, you've given me 100% return, I'm so proud of you. No, he went on out and he risked and he returned it. And the Lord just gave him, like in the parable of the workers in the vineyard, the same wage as he'd give somebody else. What's the wage? It's not the 5 cities, it's not the 2 cities. The wage is, come, enter into the joy of your Lord. That it's through that work of developing of the talents that we enter into the Lord's joy. That he trusts us so much that he entrusts everything to us, including the salvation of so many of our brothers and sisters. He's going to help us. But he wants us immediately to take advantage of this and go out. What was the problem with the servant with the one, the wicked and slothful servant, as Jesus describes him in the parable? He was dominated by fear. He was dominated by distrust in the master. And it comes out in the terrible accusation he gives because of his laziness. And this happens to us too. I knew you were a demanding person, master. He's the same person for the 5 and the 2. Harvesting where you didn't plant and gathering where you didn't scatter. Maybe that's true. But this guy didn't even allow the master to harvest where he did plant. He gave him the talent to go and invest. And he's making these excuses out of total fear because he never really knew who the master was. So he went and buried it in the ground. Went and hid it. He made a choice to do that, by the way. Just like the others immediately went and started to trade it. He went out and buried it. It wasn't just something that happened to him. It was a choice he made. And the master uses his words back toward him. Even if it's true that I harvest where I don't plant and I gather where I don't scatter, why didn't you just do something with it? Put it in the bank. Why didn't he even just try and then lose it? We don't know quite what would have happened if he came back and said, I tried really hard, I had gained a little bit, but then ancient Enron happened and I lost it all, master. I think he still would have entered into the master's joy. But he buried it. And that's why the master at the very end gave him what he chose. You wanted to be hidden, you wanted to bury my talents, you didn't want to use it. Out into the darkness, out into the hole. You placed the gifts that I had given to you. Sometimes we are overcome by a similar fear. We don't want to take the risks that are involved. We want somebody else to do all the work for us. We don't use the creativity. We don't ask the Lord for investment strategies in our prayer for how we're to use it. And we just don't develop the talent of our relationship with God the way that He's given it to us. What a pity that is. And Jesus wants us, through these 3 parables, to focus on the fact that He is coming and to give us a chance to invest them well. I really love the reward that is given. Come, enter into the Master's joy. I will give you great responsibilities. If we live this parable, sisters, the great responsibilities that the Lord will give us will be like Saint Therese, real action in heaven, to be able to do so much more good there than we would ever be able to do here. That extraordinary gift of eternal intercession, where we're able to support others by our prayers for them. That's the great responsibilities that the Lord will give us if we take these little responsibilities seriously here. And we can have confidence in living this, because all those who have put this gospel into action are now fulfilling those great responsibilities, led by Our Lady, doing far more than showering rose petals down on us from above, but so many graces, so that we can have their joy of entering into the Master's joy. The single greatest gift that the Lord has given us is what we're about to receive from this altar. And in preparation for tomorrow's second reading, all within the sense of the cross and of charity, let us offer our own bodies as a holy and acceptable sacrifice to the Lord. Our logica latreia, the only response, the only worship to Him that makes sense. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.